We are going to jump into session 3 of our study on spiritual warfare. Like we like to do when we start a new class, it's just a little bit of review. Maybe you weren't here last week. Maybe it's just a good reminder. A little bit of review of what we talked about last week. And you guys know we're following chapter by chapter through the book Spiritual Warfare that we have here. And like I said, there's extra copies over there. So last week, just briefly, one of the things that we talked about is it starts off for the passage from Ephesians is what we're working through. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? Remember that, talking about that we need to have humility, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Christ, we need to realize that this is a serious battle. We talked a little bit about the history of the battle, and we know that bullseye is on our back as followers of Christ. The enemy targets us in a very, very unique way with a lot of anger, a lot of hatred toward us. We talked about that last week. This week, what we're going to be talking about is taken from Ephesians 6:11. So you do have Bibles at your tables. You should have a book. And these are just some of the things we're going to work through as we go through the lesson today. We're taking bite-sized pieces out of that passage in Ephesians that talks about putting on the full armor of God. And during our time together, this spiritual warfare class is going to probably take us right up to the week before Christmas. So we're going to be covering a lot of stuff. We're going to be covering the armor that we're talking about in the book here. As you guys remember taking your quiz, there were questions on that quiz that talked about can a demon make a Christian sin? Can a Christian be possessed by a demon? What about the view of territorial spirits, spiritual rulers over geographical areas? Is that even in the Bible? These are good questions. Can your prayers exercise, cast the devil out of a city or a territory? Those are some of the things, too, that we want to address as we're working our way through this, because those are questions that are on a lot of people's minds. There are things that people have been taught in the past, and some of the teaching is fuzzy teaching. That's not necessarily what the passage was saying, and some of it is probably right on. We'll get to that as we work our way through our time together. So, guys, if you have your book, we're looking at chapter 2, which starts with page 15. To put on the armor of God. So there's a few passages that as we're talking about this, it starts off by saying, what exactly putting on the armor of God? When you start thinking about that, what exactly does that look like? What does that look like to put the armor on? Okay, you probably have an understanding of what some of those pieces of the armor are, but what does it mean to put those on? I like how in this chapter it talked about putting on Christ. Right? Putting on Christ, and that's all throughout the scriptures. And I'll mention a few of the scriptures. You guys can jot these down and use them this week for maybe some of your study time. But Galatians 3:27, Ephesians 4:24, Colossians 3:10, and Romans 13:14. All of those verses talk about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. Being in Christ, what that means. And those are really foundational, right? So as we engage and we realize we're in a spiritual warfare, like we've mentioned before, sometimes that can be a frightening thing. Sometimes people be like, man, I don't want to acknowledge that. I don't want to believe that like we've talked about, I have that bullseye on my back and the enemy's coming after me. That's just a fact. That's just kind of the way it is. But we don't need to be afraid, and we've talked about that. We don't need to be afraid because of what those verses will tell you, who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ, that we can be bold and we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the book, it talks about something that is interesting that's important for us to understand, and it talks about living in the in-between and the not yet, right? The already and the not yet. That's on page 15. What exactly does that mean? It means that we're living in the age right now where Christ has come and has been crucified. He has been resurrected. He is seated at an exalted place far above principalities, powers, rulers, all of that, right? An exalted place that the name of Christ every knee will bow. That's who Christ is. That's the age we're living in. But in this age, does that mean that the enemy now has absolutely no influence on this earth? Does that mean since Christ died on the cross and he was raised from the dead and Christ is exalted and ruling over all, that the enemy has absolutely no influence, no impact in the church, in your life as a Christian? How about in the world? We would say, no, that's not true. The enemy, you know, is alive, is doing things. We talked about being that lion that is roaring about seeking somebody to devour. So that's where we're living in right now. We're living in that place that is the already, right now, the things that Christ has done. We're right here, but what about the not yet? The not yet is that time that we all look forward to. The not yet is that time where Christ puts away Satan once and for all, does that work that we all wish would happen sooner than later, right? Where Satan is bound, thrown into the lake of fire, all of that, sin and death are swallowed up, no more. That is the not yet. So we long for that time that will come. We have those promises and we have that hope that we will, as Christians, get to experience that type of a reality in our lives for all eternity. And that is good news, right? So that is our hope. But we live in a time right now where the reality is we have a devil that hates us. We have demons that are doing their thing. We have things that are playing out right now, and we need to be equipped for that. We need to have the armor of God on so that we can take a stand against the enemy. So you guys probably woke up yesterday morning and like we heard that Israel was at war. Think that plays into spiritual warfare at all? Do you think that's just a coincidence that Israel is being attacked? Israel is at war. We talked about the Old Testament, the people of God. The enemy hates the people of God. He targeted all throughout the Old Testament. You see that trying to wipe out the people of God. Well, we know as Christians that we are the people of God as well, right? But God still has a special love for his people, Israel. And there's a role that they will play in the end times when we see many of them coming to know their Messiah the way that we know Christ is Messiah. But yesterday, what was interesting, and as you listen to some of the newscasts, you'll hear people will be saying things like, how could this have happened? Right? When you see some of the stuff happening, you see the missile after missile just going across the sky and hitting targets, and then you see them ripping open fences and crossing borders and flying in on these kites with these, you know, four-wheelers and all this stuff. And you're thinking, how in the world could that have happened? Because we know that Israel is pretty well equipped, right? We know that Israel has a lot of advanced military technology, weaponry. And that was what a lot of people were asking yesterday, was how did that happen? If you remember last week, we talked about there are three areas that we need to understand in order to wage war effectively. And we said that those three areas is that we need to have strength. And we said our strength comes from the Lord. We said we need to have the weaponry, which God gives us in Christ. There's a list of some of the weapons right there, the weapons. And then we need to have lines of communication. Well, many were mentioning that yesterday with what happened to Israel, that a couple of those areas were failures. A couple of those areas were failures in lines of communication. How could they not know what was happening? How could they know what was not coming, was coming to them? There was a breakdown in communication somewhere. And then what about that Iron Dome? You guys heard about the Iron Dome? You know what that is, right? How did all of those missiles get there? Well, there was a breakdown, and somehow, I don't know the answers yet, but the weaponry failed. So that leads us into our discussion this morning, talking about the weaponry, putting on the full armor of God. And as you see up here, we see all of those things that are listed, and we see back in the day when Paul wrote this, what a soldier would have looked like. A soldier would have had those pieces of weaponry on. We can see there also what the guy would look like as he's dressed and he's ready for battle. And he's got his sword and he's got the shield. He's got the helmet on, the breastplate, his feet and legs and loin, all of that protected, ready for action. That's what it looked like when Paul wrote to the Ephesians. That's what he had in mind. He probably had maybe some of these guys, he remembered what they looked like. He was chained up to them for a while, right? A lot of these guys, he knows exactly what they looked like. You see them all over the place. And then today, what our military guys look like as they're ready for war. And how many in here have served in the military? So it's probably a no-brainer, right? But how important is it that you wear every piece of armor? You guys taught that, I'm sure, right? Don't go into the battle missing your helmet. Sometimes you watch these movies, and you know, because he's the star of the movie, they don't want to. You know, they want to make sure everybody can see his pretty face and all that. He's not wearing a helmet, or he's. That's kind of foolish, isn't it? To go into battle without weapons, without a helmet, without protection, right? So we can see just in that, as Paul was talking about, why we need to be fully protected. So we look at page 18 in our book. We'll just skip to there. Page 18, I like this quote. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher about 100 years ago. This is a quote from him talking about our spiritual armor. And I'm going to just read this because it's really good just to read it. He says, "This again is something of crucial importance. It means that we do not pick and choose this matter." He's talking about the armor. "If you are to be a soldier in this army, if you were to fight victoriously in this crusade, you have to put on the entire equipment given to you. This is a rule in any army. You cannot select which parts of your uniform you are going to put on. If you say, 'I do not think this is going to suit me. I do not quite like that,' you know exactly what will happen to you. And that is infinitely more true in this spiritual realm and warfare with which we are concerned. The moment you begin to say, 'I need this helmet, but I do not need this breastplate,' you are already defeated. You need it all, the whole armor of God, because your understanding is inadequate. It is God alone who knows your enemy, and he knows exactly the provision that is essential to you if you are to continue standing. Every single part and portion of this armor is absolutely essential, and the first thing you have to learn is that you are not in a position to pick and choose." I think that's important. I think that's really important for us as we study this to understand that we need to have the full armor on. We need to be dressed and ready for battle at any given moment. You may ask, why though? Why do I need to have every piece on? Maybe I'm not going to experience that kind of a temptation or that kind of a battle today. Maybe I don't need to have it all on. Well, it's foolish not to. But what is the purpose of our armor? Why do we even put it on? What does it say in the passage? What does it say in that passage of Ephesians? Put on the whole or the full armor of God so that what? You may be able to stand, right? So what does that mean to stand? Why did Paul use that as something for us to grab onto, this stand? That we wear this armor so that we can stand. And I think in the book it says, you know, we would like to think that maybe we put the armor on so that we can be super aggressive and we go and we charge the enemy and we're fighting and we're binding and we're casting out and we're exercising and we're doing all those things. Paul doesn't say that, does he? He says you put the armor on so that you can stand. So what does it mean to stand? Just think about that for a moment. What do you think Paul was talking about when he said that we put this armor on that we may be able to stand? Sometimes standing, we think that that's like standing around, right? Just kind of loitering, just kind of hanging out. We're just standing around. That's not what Paul was talking about, was it? He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about you're getting completely dressed for battle so that you can stand. And in standing, it's not a passive standing, but it's standing as those who have gained the ultimate victory. That's good. Standing as those who have gained the ultimate victory and are standing to defend it and not to give an inch back to the enemy, right? So you've probably, as a Christian, and we're all at different places in our maturity in Christ. Some of us have been walking with the Lord for a long time. That doesn't necessarily mean we're spiritually mature. but we'd like to be, right? We'd like to think we are, and some are maybe just starting off on this journey. But we've made progress as we're continuing our walk with the Lord, and maybe it's your understanding of your identity in Christ. Maybe your understanding of what the pieces of the armor mean as we look at all of these different pieces. What does it mean that he's the breastplate of righteousness, and you understand righteousness and Christ's righteousness a little bit better, and salvation and faith, all these things you're growing in as we mature in Christ. What's the enemy try to do then? What is his job? What does he do when he comes against us? What did he do with Adam and Eve? He tried to get her to doubt what she had heard from God, right? To doubt. So that's one area of warfare that the enemy is going to be coming. You probably are nodding your head, some of you saying, yeah, because I've experienced that. That happens a lot, where the enemy comes against me and I start to doubt things. Maybe I'm going through a really, really difficult time and I'm starting to doubt his faithfulness to me. And you hear the tempter right in your ear whispering that he's not really that good, is he? If God was good, and I hear that sometimes from people, if God really was good, we do this bridge class and we open up for questions, and that's one of them is, if God is so good, why would he send anyone to hell? If God was so good, why did I get, you fill in the blank, right? So that's the enemy. That's how he attacks us. So not putting on the full armor of God so that you can stand, you leave one piece off, where do you think the enemy is going to go after you at? He's going to go after you in that area of weakness. He's going to go after you in that area where you don't have the armor. And don't think the enemy's a fool as far as not knowing how to engage in spiritual warfare. The enemy is very good and crafty at what he does. And we need the armor, and we need to have the strength of the Lord. So when we stand, it makes me think of, and you guys remember the Old Testament stories. A lot of the Old Testament is the story of God choosing a people for his own, Israel, blessing them, giving them the land that he promised them, right? So he gave them the land. Does that mean they never had to defend it? Does it mean they never had to have a battle, ever? I think that's a kind of a picture for us, isn't it? When we think of Israel, we think of them going into the promised land, and we think of their history as we've read in the Old Testament. It seemed like in a lot of ways it was battle after battle. Enemies coming against them, physical armies coming against them, people from within rising up. Constant battle to defend. So what does that mean to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand? That's what it means, is that you've been given blessings in Christ. You've been given, as you read some of those verses that we talked about earlier, your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ is what's been given to you. You've been given salvation. You've been given Christ's righteousness, right? So these things, to stand then, is not a passive standing. It is an aggressive standing. It is a taking your stand and being ready for battle, like we have a picture of these guys here. You're being vigilant. You're being watchful. Isn't there a lot of language in the Bible that talks about that? As a Christian, do you hear a lot of language that talks about us being passive? Taking it easy, coasting. I mean, is that language that would describe a Christian anywhere in the Bible that you can think of? Being at ease in Zion, it talks about that. Is that a good thing? To be at ease in Zion when it talked about that? I think of verses in the Bible that talk about us having to be. It says that the kingdom of God is what? Forcefully advancing. And what does it say, Hank? It says, and what kind of men take hold of it? Take it by force, violent men take hold of it. That kind of language, right? Take it by force. It's not a, as a Christian, we are not called to stand around. And I liked how it said that in the book. We're not called to stand around. We're called to stand and defend what we've been given. Stand and defend against the attacks of the enemy as he comes in with lies, as he comes in with trying to find ways to defeat us. And we're going to talk in a little bit. I'm going to have you guys just take a moment and do an exercise that I want you to think about. That's coming up in a moment. But spiritual warfare, as we think about not just the New Testament, but God has always desired to equip his people. And that's the great thing about our God, is he didn't just say, hey, here, I gave you this. You guys figure it out. You guys do whatever you want to do with it. He didn't do that with the land of Canaan, right? He was with them. You'll be my people. I will be your God. I will tabernacle with you. I will be with you in the desert. I will be, and you see that all throughout the Bible, right? You see that God is very active and involved in his people's lives. Same with us. Some of the passages that encouraged me this week as I was looking at that we're just going to read together. This is David talking in the Psalms, but it applies. It shows how God is equipping us as Christians and that we need to be about putting on each piece of the armor, that we're not being passive, but we are physically just thinking through, okay, that armor, what do I need to do in the area of faith? How am I doing with my understanding of salvation? What about righteousness? Do I think it's my righteousness or is it Christ's righteousness? All of those things. But here's what David said in Psalm 144, verse 1, when we think of the battle that we are in as people of God. David said, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who does what? Trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." So as you're thinking of putting on pieces of armor, God is equipping you. God is training you. God is showing you how each of these pieces will work. Psalm 18, he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge." So I see that, man, right away. He's saying God's that foundation. God is that fortress. I can't do this by myself. I don't have the strength in myself to outwit and be craftier than the enemy. He has more strength than I do. But the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. And then he starts talking about the practical things. "For by you, I can run against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall." It goes on to say, "He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." So do you think he could bend a bow of bronze before he went through some training? Doesn't sound like it. Same with us, right? We need to draw near to the Lord, learn from him. "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed." So when you see verses like that in the book of Psalms, you see verses like that in the Old Testament, it encourages me to see that God is very involved in our lives, right? He doesn't just say, "Here, figure it out." It's the, we got to go through this together. There's going to be training in your life. And what's going on in somebody's life is going to be different than somebody sitting at the table next to you, the area of training that you're in right now. And maybe you're wondering, why am I in this trial that I'm in right now? Why am I in this situation of testing in my life right now? I don't understand, Lord. Could that just be a part of the training that God has you going through? It says that the trials that we go through in life help to increase our faith, help us to grow in these virtues that we're supposed to have as we mature in Christ. So as we're going through things in life, we see that God is using those things to help us to be equipped, to help us to walk with him in victory. So a practical application. I want you guys to think back over your week. Think back over maybe the past month. I'm not going to ask you to share this with anyone else. If you want to, as you guys have your table discussions, that's fine. But I just want you guys to think over your week or your month. Where have there been areas that you've stumbled when you should have been standing? So think of that for a moment. Just be honest. God knows. Maybe the Holy Spirit is reminding you right now. Where have there been areas that you've stumbled where you should have been standing? Just think on that. And why do you think it is? As you think of that situation, you think of that area where you're maybe disappointed in yourself that you reacted that way. You thought you had more strength than that. So why do you think it is that you stumbled? Could it be that a part of your armor was missing? So just take a moment and seriously think that through. As you think about the situation that you identified, maybe the area that you stumbled in, or maybe it's a pattern of stumbling. Why is that? Is there a part of the armor that you're neglecting? So think that through. And then ask yourself, how would have putting on the full armor of God, that's our lesson today, put on the full armor of God, the whole armor, how would have putting the full armor of God made a difference? And these are just good questions to ask ourselves as we try to grow, as we try to understand how to engage in this warfare a little bit better. You can be sure that Israel are asking these questions right now, right? How did this happen? What broke down in our warfare that allowed this to happen? So these are good questions for us to ask ourselves, right? And not to beat ourselves up. What good is that? Not to live under a cloud of condemnation. That's not what Christ calls us to. But there are times where we need to look at and just pause long enough to say, why am I struggling in that area? Why am I experiencing defeat in that area? When I know all of these things are in Christ and they're mine and I'm in Christ, why am I still struggling in that area? There's a really good chance that there's an area of armor, a piece of armor that's being neglected. So as we continue our study and as we continue to get into, we're going to go piece by piece as we're studying, understanding more and more about some of these pieces of our armor. But that's something for us to think about. So as you guys now, we turn to our table discussions. Like I said, remember that we have these cards. We'd love for you guys to fill out some questions. But you should have four questions at your table. And maybe somebody would take the lead and kind of get those conversations going. And let's give you guys some time to just spend discussing that and talking about some of these areas that we've talked about this morning.